You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in for good measure. This is Right Side Radio. Again, Ernie Yarbrough, State Rep, District 7, filling in for the one and only Phil Williams. As we kick off the third hour of our radio program, I'm going to say hour because I'm going to throw my name, myself in there as like somehow now I'm part of this. But anyway, here we are kicking off the third hour of our, moving into the third part of our Triple Dipper, which is non-plussing the expert. So we had Making America Local again, Making Alabama Local again. We had the men and women in the arena who are jumping in based on principle to serve. And now the third of the Triple Dipper, non-plussing the experts, confusing them, frustrating them, the air quotes experts, which COVID has been the last 3 or 4 years has been an experiment in not trusting the experts, because usually that means taking the scientific method and throwing it out the window. And, well, we prefer not to do that. We would prefer to have things that are observable, measurable, and repeatable. And that isn't just in our health and our science, of the field of sciences, but it's also in politics and people who now are stepping up to run for office, who are not the pick of the establishment or not the pick of lobbyists and big money, but they're just common people whose hearts are fired up to do what's right, come what may. And in light of that, we have our last guest for the day on today, a man who is running for the state school board, District 7. There are 8 school districts for the school board in our state, which map to the size of basically a congressional. It's a big place, a big piece of geography. But I am honored to have Dr. Alan Long on to introduce himself and to share a little bit about why he's running and his top priorities and some good news that he received in the last few days. Dr. Long, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's an honor for me to be here today. I'm just excited about the race and honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. I'm also glad to be on this show for Phil Williams. So, but just take a minute to introduce yourself, please, sir. Dr. Alan Long, and kind of your, a little bit of your background and what you do, and okay, who you are.
Thank you. Well, I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I am an Alabamian from birth. I grew up in Florence, Alabama. I've practiced medicine in the Florence and Shoals area for the last almost 40 years. Hmm. I have had a busy family life. My wife and I have been married for 41 years, and we're the parents of 4 children, and we got 6 grandkids. We've got a vested interest in our education, but that's a little bit about me as far as my profession. Of course, I've served on the University of North Alabama Board of Trustees and on the Shoals Christian Board of Trustees, and certainly those things have given me some insight into education in our area and in this part of the state.
So you're a man with deep Alabama roots. You've got experience, obviously, in helping people through the medical profession and in the educational realm as well. And that's some great qualification. So share what you're, just in case anybody missed it, share what you're running for and why you chose to throw your hat in the ring.
I'm running for the Alabama State Board of Education. As you said, there are 8 districts across the state. We're in District 7. My biggest, I guess, reason people ask me, why are you running for any office? And I will have to say it is, it's my children and my grandchildren. My kids, of course, are through school. They're all productive adults, but I've got 6 grandchildren and, you know, hope one day maybe I have some great grandchildren to go with those other fine members of my family. But, you know, if we don't do something to take back the public education system, we're not going to have much left. That old saying, if not now, when? And if not me, who? I looked in the mirror several weeks, prayed about it, and thought about it over and over. But I decided that, it might be a good time to actually stand up and do something instead of holding somebody else's coat so they could go get in the fight.
Hmm. Yeah, that reminds me of a great quote that I heard a pastor friend of mine, Dr. George Grant, said. He said, you know, if you can see it, you're probably called to it. And that was kind of how I felt about throwing my hat in the ring. And it sounds like you're much in the same condition, same boat, where you can see it. And so you feel called to it because it's become something that you're burdened for and you can see. And you know, I think it's interesting, you know, you're in the latter part of your career, you've been able to see the changes in the public education system, education in general, from faith and, as our governor says, Alabama values, faith, discipline, structure, academics that was tied to common sense and things that actually work in the real world, to this dangerous shift away from those things. And you know, as you think about what you've seen change in your lifetime, what are some of the more concerning things that you want to see corrected?
Well, you know, I agree. We always read statistics about Alabama students, you know, our math and reading scores. You know, we rate from 39th to 49th in the country for decades. Clearly, that concerns me. We have to do better. Mm-hmm. But frankly, you know, my concern is maybe not so much right now what our kids are not getting taught, but what they are getting taught. Mm-hmm. You know, we just, every time you read in the news, there's some other crazy woke program being pushed on schools. You know, we're trying to teach third graders about sexual orientation. You know, those kind of things don't need to be taught at the school anywhere. It's just not
That's
something
right.
that schools need to teach.
That's right.
Parents shouldn't be afraid of what their kids are going to be taught at school. You know, it shouldn't be contradictory to what families and parents actually believe and teach their kids at home.
That's right.
You know, we worry about what they're not being taught, but I'll tell you, I almost worry more about what they are being taught.
Sure, and I think that's a corollary of, you know, when you start interjecting and infusing into the school system woke agendas and honestly just perverse things and a foreign ideological construct that's at war with reality. In reality, it's at war with reality. Well, you only have so many hours in the day, right? So it pushes the stuff that needs to be taught. Something has to go, right? Well, they throw overboard the good value, the good morals, the necessary reading, writing, and arithmetic, so they can bring in this stuff that not only doesn't prepare them for the real world practically, but actually gives them a view of the world that doesn't match up with reality at all. And so I think that's a great point that, you know, which is why it's imperative in those windows of time that you focus on what is needed to be taught, because you only got so many hours and, you know, kids need to hear things again and again and again, right? Kids are, it's like I told, and we'll get into this toward the end of this hour, third hour, that education is the turning over of the soil of the hearts and minds of children to plant three seeds: faith, character, and knowledge. Well, it's organic. It's farming. You know, as you mentioned, heard you speak a few days ago, that you also do farming. You do some sharecropper stuff, and you understand farming takes time, right? And it takes reiteration of the same things over and over and over again, and children need the good. Like I tell people, my kids are not missionaries, okay? My kids are, as the Bible says, arrows in the hands of a mighty man, right? And kids need to hear the good again and again and again. How do people learn to spot counterfeit money? Handling the good over and over, and our kids are no different in that respect. And so I am so appreciative of the fact that you've stepped out. You don't need this. You made that point the other night. You don't need this. You don't have to have it, but you're doing it because you are burdened for the future generations. So as you think about your running and why you're running, tell us some more about, before we get into your really good news that I want you to share, I'm very excited about for you, what are some of your top priorities that you will have a focus on should you, God willing, win this race?
You know, I think as a state, and certainly the State Board of Education needs to be a part of this, we need to give parents a choice in their kids' education. You know, it's one of those one-size-fits-all kind of a system almost, and parents should make the decisions more than anybody else about their kids' education. We need to put parents back in charge of educating their children. They should be making those decisions. You know, I think we need to consider the school choice issue. It's becoming, at least in the state of Alabama, more and more realize that both the governor and the lieutenant governor have been a part of the conversation about school choice, and I think that has to be a part of our next 2, 3, 4 years, hopefully sooner than that, maybe in this next legislative session.
Absolutely. And in fact, the irony of that is that it's not going to hurt public schools. It's going to help public schools because it's going to put teachers and parents together on the same page so that the local schools have the freedom to give and to craft and to put together an educational process that the parents actually want. And then they're going to want to send their kids there. It's going to actually strengthen that local organic relationship and grow their audience. So many good, excellent school teachers, principals, superintendents I've talked to in the public school arena who are burdened for these things and want that local grassroots connection that, quite frankly, school choice brings when you put parents' hands on the financial steering wheel of the child's education. So as we wrap up this section here, take a minute and just share with us. You got some good news about some record money raising and about Alpha as well. So what you got?
Well, I am very thankful and humbled by the support that I've gotten from a lot of people in my area who know me and have worked with me over the last 35, 40 years in my medical practice and in the area. I grew up in this area, so I know a lot of folks, grew up with them. They know me, but I have been honored with a record-breaking fundraising campaign. We've raised over $100,000 just in the month of December.
Wow.
And, of course, we're still working on that. It's going to take a lot to cover this area. Wow. You know, we'll have to cover the media markets in both the Huntsville media area and the Birmingham media area, but we're budgeting ourselves for that, and it's going to be a challenge, but we are excited about the kind of support we've gotten financially from friends and others that believe in my campaign.
Now, the power of grassroots support, it's amazing.
That is probably the most important thing about a campaign is grassroots, but we feel that we're building that part of our campaign very well. The other great news we got just on Friday this past week, the Alpha organization, the Alabama Farmers Federation, who has a lot of influence around the state, the whole state, has endorsed my campaign for this election for the 7th District. So we were exhilarated learning that piece of information. But again, I think it shows their confidence. You know, they're a fairly conservative organization on all fronts, but their family values, you know, they're not ashamed of them. They present that part of their business plan as family friendly. And of course, I think this thing is all about families and the children that families raise need to have some choices. And they obviously at the Alpha organization sees what we are presenting is in line with their beliefs.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Long, thank you for coming on and sharing that, sharing your story, introducing yourself and why you're running, your top priorities, and your good news. We are certainly excited to see how this race unfolds. We applaud you for standing by family values and non-plussing the experts by saying, hey, I'm a common guy, but you know what? That's what actually qualifies me. I'm not the pick of establishment. I'm not the pick of big money. But when you win the hearts of the people, the pocketbooks are soon to follow, and you'll have all that you need, should God will, that you win the race. So, Dr. Long, you may be a long shot to some, but hey, no, obviously not to others, because they're funding your race and they're supporting your cause. So good luck on the race, and we'll be watching it with intense interest. And thank you for sharing that. We are here on Right Side Radio, covering all the important news, top to bottom, north to south, east to west. We got you covered on all the good stuff, from principle to action, from political races to maybe even a little bit of the hilarious. So we'll come back here shortly, and we'll talk about the ADPH and non-plussing the experts. We're back. Ernie Yarbrough here live, Right Side Radio, standing in for Phil Williams, who is now back in the studio covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. And so before we hop on this third part, continuing of the Triple Dipper, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Number two there. Hey, I'm good. I'm sitting over here on the opposite side of the room. This is crazy.
Telling me which buttons to hit.
By the way, you're doing an amazing job. And, of course, you brought the number one fan of the show with you.
I did. Yes. I did. I brought the Right Side Ruffian, all caps.
I didn't even get the shirt.
Whoop,
whoop.
There it is. Let's go. Come on.
Now, I'm enjoying this thoroughly. So for those of y'all that are listening right now, I've been sitting back just enjoying myself now for about the last 45 minutes while y'all just do the show. You're doing an amazing job. You want a job?
Well, we'll see how the economy holds up here with Biden. The answer may be yes sooner than I think.
By the way, I got to jump in and say something. Mm. And I won't put you on the spot because you're actually in the legislature with these guys. But there is a special election today. So people in, South Huntsville, South Madison County, I believe it is. Maybe it's East Madison County. And then Marshall. And I've forgotten where all Senate District 9 is. But so my friend Clay Schofield was the state senator for a number of years. He and I got elected together back in 2010. We sat next to each other on the Senate floor for 8 years. And then he continued for another four. Of course, he's left the Senate recently, gone to the BCA. I'm still looking to see how that explains out, but nonetheless, I'll get a hold of him later. But that vacancy is now, there's a quest to fill it.
Yes.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. I got a real beef with the fact that one of the candidates, Wes Kitchens, who's a state representative with you, do not feel compelled to say anything, but he took a big load of opportunity and endorsement from the teachers union. I fully anticipate the teachers union is looking at this as a bellwether opportunity. Can we get a teachers union endorsed Republican elected? And if so, what will that mean for the next election cycle? And oh, by the way, school choice is coming and they know it. So I'm just saying, listen, all y'all out there, all you Right Side Ruffians, if you haven't voted yet and you're in Senate District 9, which is going to be parts of Madison, Marshall, what else is in that county? I mean, is it part of Blount? They used to have part of Blount too, but it redistricted, so I'm not sure. Anyway, you got to go vote. And keep in mind, when you do, and he's welcome to call the show and explain himself if he wants to, but Wes Kitchens just took an endorsement from the AEA. And by the way, he didn't get an endorsed and then go, well, I didn't ask him for that. No, he got endorsed and then was proud of it. So if you want a Republican who's been endorsed by the teachers union who is proud of the endorsement, well then, oh, by the way, Wes Kitchens did. If you're looking for somebody who's going to help you with school choice who is not endorsed by the teachers union, I'm pretty sure that Brock Colvin is the guy. And I don't even know both of them. And a lot of times endorsements don't really matter to me. I love hearing you were endorsed or Dr. Long was endorsed by Alpha. I was endorsed by Alpha.
Right.
And then I think you probably were too.
I was in the general.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. In the primary, their default is to endorse the Republican incumbent.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, but I was in the general, and we get along great.
Okay, good. So, well, I figured you would.
Right.
Anyway, special elections ongoing right now. Polls close at 7. Do not be that guy, that girl who goes, oh, I forgot to go vote, because you may be the reason why teachers union endorsed candidate winds up getting elected. So there's that. I'm done. You can have the mic back, man. Are we timed out?
Well, hey, that was perfect. So I mean, shame on you for using the mic on your own show. But no, hey, listen, as you said, school choice is an important topic. Returning power to the people, nonplussing the experts. I'm all about the people being the experts when it comes to things that affect them, letting them make the decisions, whether it's with their child's education, whether it's with their personal doctors, whatever the case may be. Let's make Alabama people, the experts again. That is the right way. You heard the man just say it. This is Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Now, before we wrap up this third of the Triple Dipper on nonplussing the experts and a crazy story about the AEA and the ADPH, we'll hold off on that for a minute because Mr. Phil Williams has got something he needs to say.
I do. I got to take care of our sponsors, man. I mean,
yes, sir.
So I
pay the bills.
I was just talking to him this morning, as a matter of fact. Southern Immediate Care is one of our sponsors. And I always tell folks, listen, as big as this listening audience is, we've got a Southern Immediate Care somewhere near you. And so with locations like, you know, like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area, I'm hearing there's more coming. Southern Immediate Care is one of our sponsors. And they are awesome. They're open 7 days a week. They are they'll see all ages. I always say it's pediatric to geriatric. They'll see all of it. And then what I always point out to people, and I'm serious when I say this, this is who I see. And it's not because they advertise. I was seeing them. I was impressed. And I asked them, would you consider advertising? Because I could talk about this. And they said, yeah. And I was just told this morning they're going to continue to be our sponsor. So anyway, just Southern Immediate Care, bottom line is you need some medical attention, find the location nearest to you, head on down there, and do me the favor of telling them when you fill out those forms that you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Ernie,
right.
The microphone is back to you.
Well, thank you, kind sir. Yes,
can I steal it back one quick second? Because I just saw a text come in.
Absolutely.
Teresa says, Phil, very low turnout in the special election today, so... I just encourage you guys, if you're listening and you know somebody in that area, text them. Text them right now,
absolutely,
and tell them to get over to the polls. I see a couple others that said they've been over to vote. Get her done. So, okay, now back over to you.
Absolutely. This is funny.
Wait, Crystal, you have anything? What do you got?
Got anything, Crystal?
Well, we definitely are excited about getting some supper here this evening a little bit, but giving our own impetus forward to the local Gadsden economy.
Thank you. We're
excited about
awesome.
That. But yeah, so as we wrap up this third part of the Triple Dipper, we're talking about nonplussing the experts. But we talked about make Alabama local again, right? Make America local again. Focus on the local grassroots freedom and liberty principles, then step in number two and be the man or woman in the arena who's taking the principles and putting the love to action, getting to work, serving in your community, jumping in and doing the get her done. And then last of all, nonplussing the experts, right? Let's stop putting our faith in the quote unquote, air quotes, experts, and let's actually put confidence in God and in us doing the scientific method, the American way, pulling up our bootstraps by the grace of God, and us doing the observable, measurable, and repeatable of our education and our health and all the things that are most vital for our lives. And in that light, you know, I've been on here before as a guest talking about school choice. And you know, the top-down educational experts in our country, you know, my mom homeschooled us, and I could tell you stories where our friends were thrown in jail for almost 4 months for homeschooling in Decatur, Alabama. We did prayer vigils and things at local government, and my mom was ridiculed and made fun of for homeschooling us. You know what? Hey, whatever method of school you choose, you know what? It's just the parent's job to make sure that it's great academically, spiritually, mentally, physically for the child, right? It's not one size fits all, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you got to make sure it's high quality and it's gonna set your child up for success in every way. But my mom was mocked and made fun of. You know what? She was a C student in college, dropped out to marry my dad. But the American can-do attitude, what she didn't know, I teased my mom, hey, she still couldn't high-five algebra in the dark, right? But what she didn't know, she found people that did. And when her three kids graduated, 24, 27, and 32 on the ACT, not because we were, you know, God's gift to academics, but my mom, there's no replacement for a determined teacher or parent.
Who's laughing now, right?
Right, who's laughing now? Well, you know, it's the grace of God for me, but my mom is amazing. And so that's really gets back to nonplussing the experts. The final straw that broke the camel's back for me about school choice was I had won the primary, and I went down to – they had a meeting for all of the freshmen who had won their primaries, Republican primaries. You figure, hey, you know, generals will walk in the park. Primaries where the battle is. And I met the lady who at that time was the lady responsible for giving money to us from the AEA. And I asked her, I said, ma'am, I've taught all three sectors. I've taught private, Christian, homeschool, and public college math universities. Can you give me a definition of education? And she couldn't. And I said, well, let me give you my country definition that involves farming. Okay. As I mentioned earlier on the show, education is the turning over of the soil of the hearts and minds of our kids in a farming endeavor to plant three seeds: faith, character, and knowledge. Education is that. It's the passing down of a way of life, right? And while money is needed to buy pencils, good laws are needed to have good order in society, that fundamentally has nothing to do with money or legislation. And she said to me, well, we can't do much about faith and character, but we're working on knowledge. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, if you follow that philosophy of education, you're going to raise monsters who will eat their neighbors alive, because you're going to tell them school is just about making money. And she said to me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, I know. That's why we send our kids to a private Christian school.
Oh,
that's what she said to me. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
Well, you know, we see this, though, on the national level, like some of the national level spokespeople for the teachers unions at various places send their kids to private schools.
Yeah.
Like what's good for me, but not for thee kind of stuff.
That's right. Yeah. Congress did it during COVID. Hey, you know what? We're going to pull licenses of places that dispense ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to people all the while Congress is using it.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, really? And we're supposed to trust the experts. No. Turns out the American dream is we will walk into that field of expert by hard work and diligence. Had a similar situation happen with the ADPH recently.
The Alabama Department of Public Health. Pray tell, what good thing can come from there?
That what turns out isn't really Alabama, our department. Turns out, thanks to the expose done by 1819 News, it's just a medical association that's not accountable to elected officials at all. Right? Yet we pay the salary 2.5 times of the state health officer, but there's no accountability. So I got onto this radar with ADPH because the experts, right? Because number one, those articles, 1819 News, wait a minute, how can we pay their bills and how can they not be a state department with no accountability, but yet we're paying for it and they make rules that bind us.
Yeah. And I got to tell you too, before I had this radio show, I was working with the Alabama Policy Institute. And we did a study on that before 1819 News even existed. We did a study on that. And I asked the guy who did the research, who came out and said, you know how they appoint the state health officer? It's MASA, the Medical Association. And I said, that cannot be right. Go back and check your research. I sent him back to double check his research because it made no sense to me that we had no accountability and we had no confirmation by a Senate body. And it dawned on me, this is the wackiest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. In fact, I told my dad about it. He said, are you sure that's legal? I said, well, I really don't know. I don't know if it's legal or not, but that's the way it is.
I want to know what the jacklegs were thinking who legislated that in the past.
I have no idea, but I just blew me away. And then to get even better, I found out. So that was number one on the radar. Number two on the radar was they're wanting to pass this rule change that they want to continue collecting COVID data and reporting it. Well, as I was looking into that, radar goes up. I find out that the previous rule change, so by law, whenever they have a proposed rule change, they have to have a public hearing. Well, their previous rule, which is turns out the only point of engagement that the people have, because other than that, they're not accountable to any elected official. Well, their previous proposed rule change was to eliminate all public hearings. I mean, can you believe that?
Hang on. All right. So never mind the Open Meetings Act, never mind the fact that they're being paid for with tax dollars. They want to do away with public hearings.
Yeah.
You know why? It's because they're scared.
That's right. Well, and then Health Freedom Alabama and other groups that I found out about after I got elected, they, you know, rallied the troops, called the people, made the noise. Thankfully, that rule got shot down, never passed, which led to the next public hearing for the meeting being, we want to continue to collect and report COVID data. And we want to do so, it's smoke and mirrors, right? We're going to do a non-conservative thing in a conservative way. We're going to lower the reporting requirements that were at the height of COVID. So we're giving you freedom back, right? No, you're enshrining in rules reporting COVID data for congregate living spaces. Now, the devil is in the details. Read the definition. Congregate living space, according to their rule change, is defined as a place where residents congregate and reside together. And then it says, including but not limited to, and it lists, you know, medical facilities, church, summer camps, dormitories. I mean, the list is as long as my arm, but it's not limited to that.
I would say people also congregate in their homes.
They do.
So they want to collect data on our homes, is what you're saying?
Well, by that rule definition, they could. And so I thought, well, that's tyrannical. Ugh. It's wrong. It's open-ended. But why? Well, I kept reading more of the research that 1819 put out about their funding. Right. And so this leads me to ask the question, well, if their funding has gone up from hundreds of thousands to 2.something million to now over $16 million, and over $14 million of that comes from the federal government, is it possible that they're getting some of our hard earned tax dollars through the federal government in exchange for all this reporting data?
Oh, I feel certain.
I haven't confirmed that, but I would have to argue That's got to be the case.
Under the Biden administration, that makes perfect sense. I would bet you that someone somewhere in a well-meaning intent, you know, like what's his name? Rachel Levine, that wears dresses at the Department of Health and Human Services, is probably issued an edict somewhere that says, hey, we'll send you money, but you have to send us data. And we want real data, like from people's houses.
That's right. Yeah. Which is the very – so I went down there and traveled down December the 13th. In fact, if you go to my website, ErnieYarbrough.com, well, all right, you said I could plug the book, so I'm going to do it.
Plug the book, dude.
I'm writing a book called Make America Local Again. And so if you go to ErnieYarbrough.com, you can actually pre-order the book. And the code, the discount coupon is RSR for Right Side Ruffian or Right Side Radio. And you get 11.22% off, which makes the price from $20 to $17.76.
No.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. By the way, I'm glad it wasn't RTR. I would have had a word with you.
That's right.
Okay, good.
WDE. So I'm just kidding.
That's awesome.
But you'll see there on my homepage, ErnieYarbrough.com, you'll see the video of the five-minute speech that I gave in front of the ADPH. So, and I opposed the rule change and was able to actually to get a letter together, had a member of the Senate and several state reps sign it, and we submitted it before the January 4th deadline for feedback that we opposed this rule change because, as I said in the letter, Alabamians have every right to distrust, to nonplus the experts, and we should let Alabamians and their personal doctors make these decisions for their health and their families.
Man, I totally agree.
So if I can jump in before we take a quick break. I would like to point out in the theme of this show, we started with what can you do and the importance of local. What we just talked about, what you guys just discussed, has a huge impact on our lives on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And there's two guys that are sitting in here that are making a difference. And one of them started with somebody sitting in the back of the room that was just giving dog treats.
That's right.
To the dogs as they went out and knocked on doors. And so don't think
that's right.
The answer is necessarily going and solving the problem in D.C. and it's insurmountable. You can get out and do something that will make a far bigger impact on your tomorrow than anything else. So just get to local. Wanted to throw that out there.
That's the biggest thing I think has been shaking to my brain that I've learned in all this process. D.C., if we win the state level down, governor, House, Senate, county commission, local school board, we will make how about this for a tag, make DC irrelevant again.
Oh yeah. In fact, I hope I said it on the show yesterday. I said it recently. Some years ago I wrote a piece for the early days of 1819, before it was 1819 News, we had an 1819 magazine at API, and I wrote a piece and called it Fortress Alabama, because I would love to see us build a 10th Amendment wall around this state so that DC does not have near as much say so in what we do. Anyway.
Absolutely. No, it's vital. People understand if you cannot facilitate a top-down solution to problems without taking away our authority and responsibility, grassroots, bottom-up, that's the way to go. That's the right side, and that's the right way. We'll catch you back in just a few minutes as we wrap up this, what I hope has been, amazing day of radio here at Right Side Radio.
And Ernie Yarbrough's got a book.
I have a book. We are back here at Right Side Radio, wrapping up this incredibly fun day of radio. Ernie Yarbrough, State Rep District 7, filling in for the one and the only Phil Williams, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. What a fun day we've had. So honored to be here today, have some great call-in guests, my cousin in the studio with us, and of course, eventually Phil himself joins us as we discuss the triple dipper options of what we got today for making Alabama and America local again, men and women in the arena, wrapping up non-plussing the experts, you know, and really just getting comfortable as a people with the idea that we don't need to look top-down for solutions. We need to sit down together, know what our principles are, be comfortable in those things, identify them, let them settle deeply into our souls and our thinking, and let us together form the blueprint and craft the path, getting back to freedom and liberty and the right way. After all, that's what the Pilgrims did. That's what the Founding Fathers did. Yeah, they wrote documents not because they wanted the king and parliament to give them the expert answers, but they knew what was right, and they sat down together and locked arms, and they changed the course of history. So I hope today's been encouraging, hopefully empowering for you, giving you some things to walk out and do. And I've got Phil back here with us. I believe we got some text messages that we can read, some of the questions to answer. Phil, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I'm just gonna first of all just jump in here and tell you what an honor it is for y'all to do this. I mean, and you're smiling, but you have no idea what it means to know that I've got people out there that when something comes up like it did today, and I had to go handle it for a client, and it was important to them, and I couldn't not be there, that I could pick up the phone and go, "Hey man, what are you doing on Tuesday?" and you said, "Yeah." I mean, first of all, you guys hear the enthusiasm in his voice. It was there immediately. It was a text message, but if the text message could shout back at me, it would have been shouting. And so anyway, I just want to let you know, first of all, how much I appreciate it. And secondly, how much I appreciate both of y'all, because in the early days of Right Side Radio, y'all were a huge encouragement. You both were, and it meant a lot.
I met you actually moderating a debate.
I did, and that night I met Crystal.
Cousin, that's Crystal,
And Crystal told me, I'll never forget this, afterwards she said, "I really, really was down when Rush Limbaugh passed away." And then I heard this new show was coming on. I was like, "Who is this?" And then you rattled paper, and I knew it's going to be okay.
I mean, you are my Rush Limbaugh.
So,
with
that in mind, we had David from Huntsville that said, "Phil, no need to come on the radio today. Ernie Yarborough is doing a great job." So, and we got a couple of Cameron from Decatur said, "Loving the broadcast today." So, encouragement to you, Ernie. You've done a great job. I've enjoyed the show.
Do we get any grades from John yet? How did he do? Oh, we got an A++. Come on, John.
Let's see here. All right, Butters, you did a fantastic job today. So you get an A++. And because Phil was absent for the majority of the show, I don't know what grade he should receive. But I do know that today's winner is obviously Ernie Yarborough, whose absolutely brilliant performance earns him an A++.
Woof, woof.
Perfection. Wow. And congratulations. I mean, of course, Ernie should earn it, and the guests always get extra credit.
Well, and the fact that Ernie brought Crystal, I guarantee you, just won John over right there on the spot. And then, oh, by the way, John's also an Auburn fan, Crystal, so that didn't hurt.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Crystal brought Ernie.
Yeah, yes.
Let's go ahead and clarify. So,
but just so you know, she brought me because I was taking that extra time in the car to really prepare and make sure that the cherry was on the top. Mr. Phil Williams.
He was working, wasn't he?
I challenged him. I said, "Ernie, be the guest host that they want to come back."
No faults there.
No,
we're good.
Oh, God, please don't call him back.
We're all good.
As we roll into the last minute of today's show, there was another text back when, I think it was when your dad was on. Mike says, C.S. Lewis said, "The task of the modern educator is not to cut down jungles, but to irrigate deserts." I thought that was a good quote.
C.S. Lewis also said that it's better to live under despot kings than omnipotent busybodies. So I don't know what we have for government, but sometimes it seems like it's omnipotent busybodies.
Yeah, absolutely. We even had some breaking news about the Secretary of Defense today that I'll talk about probably tomorrow. But
You're going to drive my blood pressure up again tomorrow.
More, bro. Just go ahead and brace yourself because it's coming tomorrow.
Bring in the liberals prostrate before you.
Oh, I see what you did there.
too soon.
Butters, you survived, man. When I first told him we had a guest host, he's like, "Okay, what are you doing to me?" It's all okay, though, isn't it?
Hey, it's been fun. So always enjoy having
Butters, you've been amazing. Thank you for guiding us through. Touch that button. Leave that button alone. You're on next. So it would have been literally a train wreck without you here.
You've been good.
Did he give you the, "You don't have time to go to the bathroom. Sit back down"? Did he try that with you?
He did not, but I waited to go till he went. So Right Side Radio, we've got it here today. Come back tomorrow to hear the man, Phil Williams, as you hear more about news, local, state, and national, Right Way, Right Side Radio.
Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio.